Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining us once again. Good to have you back. I know for North America, the clocks haven't changed yet, have they? They're changing this weekend.
So we're still, yeah, as always, we're following you guys. You take the lead and we'll follow 1 week later.
Yes. So some people might have been waiting for us at 3 o'clock, but here we go. 4 o'clock, your time. So, yes, welcome, everyone. So how's your week been, Barry?
My week has been very good. Busy little beaver here in, Command Central. And how was your week, more importantly, being away?
Yeah, I was away last week in Poland. Had a really good week. I was there with Trevor. Wynette was there as well. A good team of people working with us. Had a great school growing in Sonship. Just wonderful to see. You know, people getting this revelation, people's lives being changed. And what is good about the Growing in Sonship week is it's kind of like the part two. So we had a lot of people who've been with us in March when we did Encounter the Father, experiencing the Father's love. And, you know, just when they come back 6 months later and you see the change of them living in this revelation, it's really kind of special. And just to sort of see how people are becoming rooted and grounded, and their lives going deeper into the Father, into his love. So very encouraging, very good, and really good week. Got home. When did I get home? Saturday evening. And I'm at home now. I'm pretty much at home till the end of January, beginning of February, when I'm up in Lancaster for a weekend. But the next big event in the Jaid household in 2.5 weeks time is our son's getting married.
Now that is a big deal.
So that's a big deal. So looking forward to that. 2 weeks on Saturday. Yeah.
Wow. And you're looking so calm, cool and collected.
Well, I don't have to do very much apart from turn up on the day. I'm saying a little bit in the ceremony, giving a bit of a blessing. John and Alice have really been arranging it all themselves. They've been planning it, preparing it, and telling us, you know, what to wear and where to turn up. And
wow.
So, I feel very calm about it, but looking forward to it immensely.
Awesome.
Yeah, and your little eldest granddaughter hit the double digits.
Double digits yesterday. Yeah, 10 years of age, and you know, she's just an absolute joy to be around. But you know, you can start to see she's getting older, and you know, 10 going on maybe 12 or 13. I can't believe I created an audio book of The Kingdom Belongs to Little Children, the book I wrote 9 years ago. I can't believe it's been 9 years, but it was based on Riley's first year of life, right?
Yeah.
So here she is, this cute little chubby little baby that, you know, I'm writing this book about, and then now she's this beautiful young little lady that's, just amazing how time flies. The one thing I'm really thankful for is that you and I stopped aging. So that, you know,
they'll be catching us up, won't they? These grandchildren.
In our own mind, anyway.
Oh, I'm still 25, Barry.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I'm in the neighborhood of 39, but the neighborhood's getting bigger every year.
I know. Anyway, we won't go there.
Yeah.
So, anything we need to mention next? Next week,
I don't know. I mean, I mentioned
yeah,
the audiobook is out for the Kingdom Belongs to Little Children. That's pretty cool. So if you go to fatherheart.tv, you can find it there. Also, I wrote a new book called There Is One God and Father of Us All, and just an ebook. It's free, and that's available at onefather.com if anybody wants to grab that. And that's I just created a new video today, which is again, so this is why, you know, I was saying Command Central's been pretty busy, but just having lots of fun finding new expressions, ways to say the same thing over and over again, you know, but in different ways.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, it's the creativity will never die, Barry. It will always ooze out of you.
When I'm in my wheelchair and I'm going around, maybe I'll be still creatively, maybe doing some spinning in my wheelchair or something. I don't know.
Well, I imagine by that time technology will advance so much that you'll probably just have a sort of hat on that picks up the electronic signals from your brain and translates it into videos and books and
something like that. Yeah.
And I'll be sitting over here cheering you on. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about receiving life from heaven. So I'm going to kick it off, and when I run out of something to say in about 2 minutes' time, I'll get Barry back on. But you just want to pray for us, Barry?
Oh, Father, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Everything comes from you, Father.
And I just
pray, Father, that we today would just have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, hearts to believe, to dare to believe this is true. And Father, I just pray a blessing on Mark as he shares. I just pray the heart that you have deposited in him about this topic would just be clearly declared tonight. And I just pray for every person listening, whether it's live on the live stream or afterwards, that, Father, that you would just encourage each one of us in our own unique walks, that you really love us and you are for us, and that you are our Father and our brother Jesus understands us like no one else ever did. So we just pray that, you know, these things would become more and more real to us today than yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen.
And thanks, Barry. I'll get you back in a few minutes.
All right, Eddie. See ya.
So, receiving life from heaven. You know, I've been thinking about this recently and just got a number of thoughts just to sort of start this off. I really believe that when we're born again, when we become Christians, we've got a real desire to serve the Lord and to walk in his ways and to please him. And you know, that desire, I believe, is genuine, and I believe it's a really good desire to have. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that desire. And you know, I think when people lose that desire, very often they settle, they become comfortable in their Christian faith, they're not challenged, they kind of get stuck. And they lose that sense of there's always more. And, you know, one of the things that we've been really talking about a lot here, my wife and I, is there's always more. There's always more. And, you know, if we settle down, we can lose that desire for the more. And yet the Father's always got more for us. It's always possible for us to go deeper in his love and to experience more of him. And so, you know, I really do believe that this desire is a good thing. And it's something I really want to encourage us all to just lay hold of. Because, you know, I really just believe it's the thing that keeps us pursuing the Father, keeps us pursuing the Holy Spirit, keeps us pursuing, you know, wanting to be like Jesus and walking as Jesus walked. Because I think, you know, if we lose sight of that desire, you know, we do, as I say, we settle and, you know, we become content with the status quo. And yet the Father says, hey, there's always more. There's always more life to experience. Jesus said, of course, you know, I've come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. And, you know, let's pursue that fullness of life. Because when he says fullness, you know, that really is a lot of fullness. It's not measured by earthly constraints. It's fullness defined by heaven, which has got to be a lot more full than, you know, our understanding. So, you know, I really do kind of just want to honor and value that desire we have to serve him and walk in his ways, because and to become more like him. I think one of the challenges we have is in our desire to serve him, in our desire to walk in his ways, there's a tendency, I think, perhaps, for us to grab hold of anything and feel we must do it, or we must make it part of our lifestyle. And the problem with that is it's very, very easy for us to fall into good works. And we know that the gospel is not about good works. It's about the grace that is given to us in Jesus. And it's very easy for that desire we have to serve the Lord to be channeled into, you know, picking up every good work that comes along and feeling we've got to do it. I remember many, many years ago, the church I was in, we had another church in our area, and they started doing house groups in a slightly different way, midweek home groups in a slightly different way, and it really worked. And so we had this conversation in our leaders meeting, you know, it's like, well, shall we do what they're doing? You know, it was working for them, you know, maybe it will work for us. And, you know, my question in that leaders meeting was, yeah, that was clearly something that God gave them, but is God giving it to us? Or if we just try and copy, you know, are we going to end up striving? It's going to be hard work. We're not going to see fruit. And, you know, it's very, very easy for us to get sidetracked from, you know, hearing what the Father has for us into a cycle of good works. You know, I don't want to kill that desire in us. You know, if anything, I want that desire in us to grow, because I want us to be, you know, I want us to pursue the more, you know, and for you to say to yourselves, there's always more, and really just to pursue that. But, you know, at the same time, don't let that desire get sidetracked into, you know, a life of performance or good works that actually become hard work. You know, one of the things I felt the Father say to me many years ago, which kind of started off being very encouraging, you know, he said to me, Mark, I will bless what you do. You know, that's great, isn't it? You know, I will bless what you do. And I thought, yes, thank you, Father. You know, oh, I really want to live in your blessing, really want to live in that favor, you know. But then he said, you know, but, you know, I will bless what you do, but. And then he went on to say, it will be limited to what you can do. I will bless what you do, but it will be limited to what you can do. And that's, you know, that is the truth, because, you know, our Father is so kind. He is so generous. He is so merciful that he really does bless what we do. You know, that's just his nature. You know, if he sees us getting involved in good works, there will be a blessing because our Father blesses. But when we do things in our own strength, out of our own ideas of what is a good thing to do, it, however hard we try, it will always be limited to the extent of our own human endeavor. You know, it will be limited. And yes, the Father will bless it because that's who he is, but it will be limited. You know, he went on to say, you know, Mark, if you get out of the way and let me do it, you'll see greater things. And, you know, I've tried to do that. Do I succeed all the time? Probably not. But I've tried to do that because I see a greater fruit in my life when I'm walking in sync with him. And really, I just want to start with a couple of verses of scripture and then kind of just throw it open for a discussion with Barry. And the first verse I just want to mention is John chapter 3, verse 27. A man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. A man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. Some other translations turn it round and put it the other way. A man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. But the context of this verse is is John the Baptist is talking, and it's at the time when John the Baptist has been baptizing people and people are coming to him, and he's saying, you know, there's somebody else coming, it's the Messiah's coming, you know, and he's kind of pointing the way towards Jesus. And, you know, at the same time, Jesus is just stepping onto the public scene, you know, and people are comparing John the Baptist with Jesus. They're comparing the two ministries. And obviously Jesus has the superior ministry. He just happens to be the Son of God. And, you know, people are kind of, I think people are saying to John the Baptist a little bit, well, you know, hey, would you like to be like him? And, you know, because they recognize a greater authority, a greater anointing on Jesus. And John says, no, this is what I've been given. This is the anointing. This is the authority that I've been given. And what has been given to him is much, much greater. And, you know, I'm not worthy to untie his or do up his shoes, you know. In fact, John says, I must decrease, so he must increase. And what John is saying is, look, yeah, I know what I was given to do. And I can see that Jesus has been given a greater thing to do. But I know what I've been given to do, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to receive the gift that has been given to me. I'm going to receive the job, the task, the ministry, whatever, that has been given to me. And he's got a greater ministry, but I'm not after that. You know, that's for him. That's for Jesus to do, but this is for me. And, you know, John was basically content with the calling that God had given to him. And with that came a grace and an anointing to do it. And, you know, that's kind of really where I want to start is the value of asking the question. Whenever something comes up, is this given to me from heaven? You know, is this something that's coming from heaven for me? And if it is, do it with all of your heart. And if it's not, then let someone else do it. Let the person do it whose name is on it. You know, don't do something that hasn't got your name on it. You know, in Ephesians 2:10, it says that God has prepared good works for us to do. God's prepared good works in advance for us to do. And the problem I think we have is we see things that look like a good work and we run into doing it and we don't ask the question, has that been prepared for me? And, you know, if it's been prepared for you, then do it with all of your heart, because there will be a grace and an anointing for you to do it. If it's not been prepared for you, don't do it. Because what happens then is you get exhausted because you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. And somebody else who should be doing it is denied the privilege of doing it. So I always like to ask the question, you know, what has been given to me? And if I get an invitation somewhere, you know, I ask the question, has this been given to me from heaven? Or is this just a good idea? Is this just another nice country I would like to go and visit? Or has it been given to me by the Father for me to do? Because if it has, I want to do it with all of my heart, because I know that there will be a grace and an anointing on that. You know, Barry in his prayer, he mentioned James chapter 1, verse 17, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And it's like, you know, Father, is this a gift you're giving me? Or is this actually a gift that you're giving somebody else that I quite like the look of, you know? So really my encouragement for us today is, you know, to ask the question, has this come from heaven for me? Because if it has, it will be life for you. You know, the things that I know God has given me to do, when I do them, there's a lot of life in it. Like Poland last week, you know, I know that's been given to me from heaven. And yeah, it was hard work. There were a lot of sessions to teach and there was a whole group of people to look after. But there was life in it because it had come from heaven. And this is the thing, you see, when we do what the Father is giving us, there's life. You know, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, and for him it was life. Jesus said, John 10, verse 10, you know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. What the enemy wants to do is he wants to steal your life. He wants to kill the life within you. And one of the ways he does that is by putting on us a burden, or by he encourages us to take on a burden that is not ours to take. And it just drains our energy. It drains our life. And, you know, we kind of end up feeling fed up. And then we become unfruitful. But if we take on the yoke that the Father is giving us, we walk as Jesus walked, and we can say, you know, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And when we take that yoke upon our shoulders, it's actually going to give life to our hearts. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, Jesus, when he said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness, life in all its abundance, that's a promise that, you know, is for us today. We can step into that and begin to live in that. And yeah, we might have challenges, we might have difficulties, we might have struggles, problems, sufferings. You know, we might go through a whole load of things, but we can, even in those, we can experience his life inside of us. So, yeah, I was also reminded of the story that Jesus said in Matthew 25, the story of the talents. You know, master's going away for a journey, and he gives one servant five talents. He gives another servant two talents, and he gives another servant one talent. And really, the point is not how many talents each servant received. It's what they did with it. You know, the guy who had five, he went and did something with it, made it 10. The guy who had two, he multiplied it. The guy who had one just stuck it in the ground, didn't do anything with it. And when the master comes back, he says, well, you know, where's the fruit? And two of the guys can say, here's the fruit. And the other guy said, well, you know, I was just living in fear, so I buried it. And the point is not how many talents we're given, because, you know, the danger is if I've only got two talents and Barry's got five, you know, I can start looking, thinking, I want five. It's not fair. You know, why has he got five and why have I only got two? That's not the point. You know, that's a competitive, orphan-hearted mentality. You know, the point is, what has been given to me and what am I going to do with it? Because when I do something with what has been given to me, it will bring life to my heart. And I believe when we have life in our heart, it brings freedom, brings us into a place of joy and peace and freedom. And, you know, this is really just my simple encouragement for today. And, you know, I was just reminded of the story when David went to kill Goliath. And he goes out and he sees this great big giant, and he says, hey, what's the problem? You know, I'll go and fight him. And Saul kind of goes, well, I suppose you better have a suit of armor, you know. So Saul gives David his suit of armor, and it doesn't fit. You know, David's a shepherd boy. He doesn't know how to wear armor. He doesn't know how it all fits, how it all is heavy. You know, he just couldn't do it. You know, he's a shepherd boy. Give him a slingshot and a few pebbles from the stream, and, you know, that's what's been given to him. You know, soldiers, they get their armor. David had his sling. And, you know, David is just so uncomfortable. And he knows he can't kill Goliath if he's wearing Saul's armor. So he takes it off and he says, no, Saul, king, you know, I can't do it in your armor. I have to do it with what's been given to me. And of course, he goes out and his little sling and his pebbles, and Goliath is slain. And, you know, I think the tendency so often is for us to wear someone else's armor. You know, we see someone being successful and we think, if I copy them, maybe it will work for me. No, all you're doing then is putting someone else's armor on. And, you know, wear your own armor. Whatever God has given you, you know, wear that, because that's when you're being yourself. That's when you're being authentic. Don't try and imitate somebody else, because it won't work. You know, you might be able to work. It might work for a little while, but it won't bring life and it won't be fruitful. Jesus said in John 15, you know, you will bear abundant fruit. You will bear fruit that will last. And I believe we will begin to see that fruitfulness in our lives when we are walking as Jesus walked, which is really just to say, Father, what do you want me to do? You know, what little bit of heaven do you want me to bring to earth today? You know, what are you giving me to do? I ask that question regularly when something comes up. You know, I say, is this given to me? You know, is this for me or is this to be left? And, you know, if it's given to me, I want to do it with all of my heart, because that's going to bring me life. I hope it will bring other people life and it will be fruitful. And I will begin to discover that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So I'm just going to bring Barry back in and we'll just unpack this a little bit more together. But I do believe this is kind of this is the pathway to seeing the kingdom of God being released through us. You know, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, it's a pathway of freedom, I guess. So Barry, come on, tell us what you
preach.
Got to
it,
say.
Brother. Preach it. I just say yes and amen. I mean, this is one of the kind of my hobby horses or my wheelhouse, or you know, where it's just really coming into the place of embracing who God created each and every one of us to be. Right? I mean, I remember seeing a meme on Facebook years ago that said, you might as well be you because everyone else is taken.
Yes.
And I think that is one of the most, it seems like it should be the most common sense thing. Like, of course, or like, who else is Mark going to be but Mark, or who else is Barry going to be? Like, that's who you are. But it just, when we begin to understand just how kind of the orphan world works, that it, you know, we just live in a culture that is constantly encouraging each other to compare each other with the, you know, and you get into social media and my gosh, you get it's just crazy and everybody's opinions and everything else. So, you know, it is very easy for us to especially if we don't know, like you said, what has been entrusted to us. So if we don't know, we don't put a value on who God created us to be, it's so easy for us to make assumptions that, you know, Bill Johnson is a great speaker. So I, you know, maybe if my life's pursuit is to be like Bill Johnson, then, you know, maybe God will be pleased. And of course, you know, I'd be a poor imitation of Bill Johnson and I'd rob the world of Barry Adams. So I think it in one sense, it is, it feels like it's common sense, but in another sense, it's so elusive. And I think that's the struggle. And of course, you know, with your example of King David, where he was just a teenage shepherd boy at the time when, you know, and he goes after Goliath. And I mean, could you imagine what that story would have been like? I mean, David, you know, he destroyed a bear and a lion, you know, with just a few smooth stones and a slingshot. And that's how God trained him. Mm-hmm. And if he would have went out on that battlefield with all of King Saul's heavy armor that he had never worn before, it would have been a different outcome. And so I'm just so thankful. And understanding what that would have meant in the day. I mean, this is the king honoring David and saying, here's the best of the best. And of course, from what I understand, King Saul was a head taller than most Israelites. And then King David, from historical kind of just notes that he might not have been a too big a guy. He might have been on the small side. So, I mean, I'm in his corner with that one. And could you imagine, you know, David, teenager, putting on this massive heavy armor that didn't fit him. He never knew how to battle with it. And so, and we all read that story and we think, well, that's obvious.
Yeah.
I really believe the Father wants us to be able to apply that, though. Mm-hmm. To our own lives. You know, some people, I know, I've, I, you know, when I've been in Taiwan, for instance, talking to some friends there. And of course, they have a very regimented school system, right, where they start getting exams in kindergarten. And they have a second school for those who can afford it. So they come home after school and then they go home for supper. Then they go to school in the evening so they can get, you know, a leg up on everybody else. And so, you know, but my friends were saying that, you know, if you show yourself as being, you know, skilled in, you know, maybe in mathematics or finance, accountancy, or being a lawyer or a doctor, it's like your career is already set for you even as a young child. It's because they just force you into this, you know, well-meaning, right? But that's what happens. And of course, they were telling me even the arts, you know, the, you know, whether it's the dancing or drawing or music or all of the things that don't seem to really fit into a good business plan, you know, those things can be squashed in little kids' hearts because, you know, they're not things that are going to launch them in a career. So, you know, and they were talking about how, you know, oftentimes people don't even give themselves permission to ask, you know, what do I want to do? What does God give me? I love what you said about Papa saying, you know, well, you can do that if you want and I'll bless you, but there's a higher plan and purpose, and to be able to kind of sink into that. And part of that, I truly believe, is Philippians 2:13. It's for it is God who works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. And so when we connect to the desires of our hearts, when we're able to, you know, understand that Jeremiah, when he talked about the heart is exceedingly wicked, who can trust it? He's talking about an old covenant heart. And it is an old covenant heart. There's no question about it. No one's trying to say it isn't. But when you have a new heart, when the Ezekiel promise of God to say, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, it's a totally different ballgame, because we have a new heart, and then we can begin to trust that heart. And then the promise of Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And then we begin to start to you know, really begin to ask the Father, what is it in me that makes my heart go pitter-patter? What have you entrusted me with? And so I better stop, because you just asked me a simple question and I went into a mini sermon there.
Oh, very happy about that. I think we have a lot of conversations sometimes, you know, what is about our gifting, about our function, our role, you know, our abilities. And I think, you know, that's quite a topic very often had in churches and so on. It's a good topic. It's a good encouragement. And I think, you know, many of us struggle with that. Like, well, I don't know, you know, what? I remember, you know, when I was a young man, when I was about 20, 18, 19, 20, I went on a youth camp. And one evening they wanted to pray for people, pray for all of us, you know, young people. And they kind of said, if you feel you're called to be a prophet, go and stand in this corner of the room and we'll pray for you to be a prophet. If you feel you're to be an evangelist, go into this corner of the room and we'll pray for you to be an evangelist. If you feel like you're a youth worker, you know, go in here. If you feel like you're a worship leader, you know, go over here. If you feel you want to, you know, administrative gifting, go here. And I thought, I don't know. I something in me kind of said, actually, I'm a son. You know, even at that point in my life, it was like, I'm a son. You know, how does this work? And I didn't know where to go and stand. And so I just left the meeting. But, you know, I'm not saying that was a wrong thing that was going on, but it was just like, sometimes we don't know. We have this struggle inside of us. And, you know, what is that unique gifting that God has given me? I mean, you know, we see that with Barry, you know, creative, loves playing with the internet, you know, videos, all sorts of stuff, just pushing the boundaries every day, you know, and it's like, that's a clear sort of gifting, ability. And you know, sometimes we think, oh, I wish I knew what my thing was, you know, I wish I knew who I was or what I was. And I think actually the question is to ask is not what am I, but the question to ask is who am I? Because I think My experience has been, and I've seen this with many other people, is that when we actually become secure in our identity as a son or a daughter, you know, it's like we are much more able, much more secure to be the person that God has made us to be, you know, the me. That what is me shaped? What is Mark shaped? Yeah. What have I been given to do? See, if I'm insecure, if I don't know my identity, then I'm not confident in who Mark is. And so I try to imitate, I try to copy, I try to be an imitation of somebody else, you know. And it's only when I become secure in my sonship that I can say, this is me. And there's only one of me. Thank goodness there's only one of me. The world only needs one of me. And then I that sense of security in my identity releases it. I actually believe it releases a creativity. You know, when I was at school, I was not good at art. In fact, I was pretty rubbish at art. And now I remember one time we were sitting in the art room and there was this still life thingy in front of us, you know, and we all had to draw this still life. And I drew it and I was absolutely convinced that, you know, I was drawing exactly what was in front of me. But, you know, I have to say, when I finished it, it was pretty rubbish. It didn't look anything like, you know, even though I was convinced when I was putting the lines on the paper that they were all in the right place, the perspective was right, all that sort of stuff, you know, you artists will understand, you know. But when I looked at the finished work, I thought that really is rubbish, you know. And the art teacher came round. Now, I've subsequently discovered that he didn't say what I thought he said. Because I was, a few years ago, I was talking to somebody who, an old school friend of mine, who was a very good artist. And, you know, he said that teacher was always encouraging. That teacher never pulled anybody down. That teacher never said anything negative about anybody's artwork, you know. you know, he was a very positive teacher. But what I heard as a sort of 13, 14 year old boy, when the teacher came around and looked at my rubbish piece of work, you know, what I heard him say was, that's rubbish. See, that's...
Oh, my goodness.
But he didn't say that, you see. This other friend of mine said he wouldn't have said that, but that's what I heard because that's what I believed, you see. I believed it was rubbish and I heard, you know, him say that. And since I, you know, in more recent years, you know, as I've become more secure in who I am, I know Mark, you know, I know who Mark is. You know, I've discovered that I'm actually much more creative. You know, I love photography. I can, I do a fair bit of writing. You know, there's all sorts of things that I know is a release of creativity inside of me. You know, for some of you, your creativity might be making cakes. It might be making bread. It might be painting. It might be knitting or dressmaking or woodwork or, you know, all sorts of things, you know, that you've been too frightened to experiment with or play with because you just have this lie going on that inside of you that says, you know, what you do is rubbish. And that is a lie that many, many of us believe. And it's a lie that the Father wants to set us free from so that we know who we are. And I do believe, and I've seen this so many times, is that when we become rooted and grounded in love and we get a sense of our true identity as a son or a daughter, it releases a whole new level of creativity inside of us. And it's just stuff comes out of us in, you know, that's Mark shaped, Barry shaped, you know, whoever shaped. It's the real authentic us. And that brings life, you know, that brings joy to our heart.
Well, I mean, I know maybe this example pales, but like I just remember when, you know, playing on our church baseball team and not wanting to let our team members down because it was a pretty intense competition, and when I was so afraid of catching that I would let my teammates down by dropping the ball, and you want everything in within you tightens up because you just you're afraid and you because you don't want to fail. And then, you know, I didn't play the best baseball when I was in that state, and you know, more times than not I dropped the ball. But it's when, you know, nothing was at stake and I was just having fun throwing a ball around, it didn't matter if I caught it or not, I'd play much better because I was relaxed and just in a place of just playing for the love of the sport. And I just think that, you know, I think that's kind of how oftentimes you talk about creativity flowing. I think, you know, we bottle it up so much because we want, either we want it to be perfect or we are afraid that people are going to judge us. And so then everything tightens up. But if we're just kind of doing it for the love of it and not really trying to quantify or qualify anything we do, like, it's just the freedom flows, right? And I think that's what the Father's is looking for. And I noticed that Mike had just said that, you know, maybe, you know, we can pray for people at, you know, near the end of the webcast. But I just feel that it is something that the Father absolutely wants us to be free on. And I mean, I know we've mentioned it so many times, but Eric Lytle from the Chariots of Fire, you know, he was an Olympic runner, and it just, like, you know, when he, just the saying, and he says that God made me to run fast, and when I run, I feel His pleasure. Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, you know, when we move into the time where we're just going to pray for people, I you know, my prayer is for all of us, and you know, including you and I, that we would so be aware of the things where we feel the Father's delight, his pleasure, that, you know, I was created to do this. And you know, for me, and you know my story, Mark, how I left a career in newspaper advertising, you know, 19 years in the newspaper business, feeling a call of God in my life. And I felt that, well, that call of God, the only grid I had was pastoral ministry. And so, like, for 3.5 years, I became a full-time associate pastor. And it was like, you know, I thought this was... I mean, what other options were there? And so, you know, I honor the pastor calling. I mean, my gosh, I think I honor it more now after I've done it, just because I realize how hard it is. And, but I realized it wasn't me. And, you know, I remember when a prophetic fellow from England came over to a pastor's meeting in Canada, and he prayed for me, and he just said, God is going to use you to preach the gospel around the world using media. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, media, newspaper background. Yeah. But then it was, I didn't say anything, but it was like, you know, God was reading my mind, and he said, and God says it's television. and at that point, even the grid of what a computer screen looks like, a TV, and of course, the Father's love letter has been around the world on television broadcast, but, you know, it's been on a lot more, I'm thinking, computer screens. But, you know, and so it's just, I think that's what the Father wants each and every one of us to be, absolutely permissioned by God Himself to be who He created us to be. And, you know, lots of times, and I'm sure you've had the same experience where you pray for people, and, you know, people in their, you know, their later years even, and they say that, I say, if you say, what is in your heart to do? And then they've said, I've never given myself permission to ask that question.
Yeah.
If that's you tonight, when you're listening to this, I pray, my prayer is that God will release you to ask that question to Him. Father, what do I love to do? What have you created me to do?
That's good. Well, why don't we just pray for folk, Barry? Pray for us ourselves as well, eh? Yeah, let's do that. Oh, yeah, thank you, Father.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Abba.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you that you've called us to walk as Jesus walked. And we understand that's not just doing what Jesus did, but it's having the same heart as Jesus did. Jesus very simply said, Father, what do you want me to do today? He only did what he saw you doing, Father. He only said what he heard you saying. And Father, may we be a people like that. That just give ourselves to walk in your ways. And to do the things that you've given us to do, that we would receive. Father, I pray that we would truly receive what you are giving us from heaven. That we would not look at somebody else's gift and think that looks good and want it for ourselves, but we would truly receive what you are giving us from heaven. Father, I pray that we would become so rooted and grounded in love, so rooted in our true identity as sons and daughters, that we would not be insecure about what you're giving us. That we wouldn't feel we had to do something because it looks religious and therefore good. But Father, we would do the things that you are giving to us, not the things that religion is giving to us, but we would do what you're giving to us, because we know that's the pathway to life. Father, we do recognize that religion is an enslaving curse, really, that holds us in a prison. And I just pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters all around the world, that you would free them from that prison tonight. That those people watching live, those people watching later who feel that they are in a prison of religious activity, Father, I just pray that you would show them where the door is and show them that the door is open. And instead of a restricted prison, there is a wide open space that is set before them. And Father, may they walk into that wide open space with joy and freedom. So Father, I just ask that really at the end of the day, Father, we would be rooted and grounded in love, rooted in our true identity as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father.
Father, we just ask that you would just, maybe our parents didn't permission us to ask questions like this. Maybe our parents, or maybe it was our employers, or maybe it was the school system that just set us on a track where we couldn't ask questions. But Father, we just ask now by your Holy Spirit that you would just give each and every one of us the permission to ask you what it is that you have given us. Not what other people have given us, not other yokes, not other people's visions or burdens, but what is on your heart for us, Father. And Abba, I just ask that we would be able to get in touch more with our own heart's desires, our own life story. And Lord, I just think of the difference between the Greek mindset and the Hebrew mindset, where the Greek mindset, our life is compartmentalized into all these boxes. You know, we have a ministry box and a work box and a family box and a recreation box, all those things. But in the Hebrew culture, the Hebrew mindset, everything is worship. Everything is sacred. Everything is spiritual. And Father, I just pray by the power of your Spirit that you would just set us free from any kind of just expectations that we would place upon ourselves and demands, even what we determine as ministry. Father, if everything is holy, if everything is sacred, if watching our children play soccer or play sports, or grandchildren, that's an act of worship. Father, I just pray even now that you would just, in the most loving way, just blow up every barrier and boundary that we have set on our hearts, or other people have set on our hearts, that we would be able to dream impossible dreams again. And for some of us, Father, that might mean returning to that childlike heart that still is alive and well in each one of us, that we would be able to imagine like we've never imagined before, that we would be able to rest like we've never rested before, that we could, you would restore play to our heart, celebration to our heart, awe and wonder to our heart, Father, that we would be able to see through new eyes. And Father, I just pray that the beautiful simplicity of the kingdom is as Jesus sent out his disciples to cast out devils, raise the dead, and heal the sick, he said, freely as you receive, freely give. The kingdom is all about receiving and then giving away that which we first received. And we know from 1 John 4:19, it's we love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
So Abba, we just ask that you would just restore even to each and every one of us just the glorious simplicity of heart. And what we have received, we can give away. That which we have not received, we can't give away because we don't have it.
Yeah.
And that leads to striving. So, Father, I just ask for all of us, including Mark and I, just a greater revelation of how you created us and the things that we do where we feel your pleasure. Just lead us into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead us beside still waters. Make us lie down in green pastures, Abba. So many times we even struggle to rest because our value is based on our productivity. And I just pray, Father, that even that would be disconnected. Our productivity would be disconnected from our identity.
Yeah.
And the thing that I see, I don't know if it's for somebody or not, but I just see this train and, you know, all the cars on a train and how the cars are linked one to another. And maybe there's this productivity train car, rail car that's connected to your to your engine that's providing you with this weight and burden because you feel like you have to pull this around wherever you go. And I just believe, and that might be for somebody, and that that God would just want you to disconnect that measurement, that unhook that rail car to your engine and just be able to soar and not feel like everything that you do has to be quantified or justified as being productive. Thank you, Abba.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Father, may we find your yoke. May we just put your yoke on us, because that's the one that's light and easy. As the Message translation says, that's the unforced rhythms of grace.
Dad.
That's what we want, Father, is the unforced rhythm of grace working in our life. Just help us to find that pathway.
Yes, Dad.
Father, may we not feel guilty of letting things go. Things that are not given to us from heaven. May we not feel guilty about taking a pass on them. May we not be in condemnation, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Father, may we just discover life, the abundant life that you, Jesus, promised to us. May we discover the pathway of peace, the pathway of rest, the pathway of joy.
Yes, Dad.
The pathway of freedom.
Amen. And Mark, I just want to say, I love how Father has made you.
There's only one of me, matey. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Look forward, we're both of us back next week. Same time, same. Yeah. Next week, North America will be back to 3 p.m. Because your clocks are changing this weekend,
Sunday.
Sunday. So next week, Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Everybody else, normal time, same place. And we'll see you then.
Alrighty. Bless you guys.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.